let's talk about mood boards. I am changing the way, the tone, the inflection of my voice in order to capture your attention. I know that there's lots of content on the internet and we tend to like trail off. So I thought that if I speak differently, you'll pay more attention to me. I'm also just in a playful mood. I've been meaning to do this episode for months, and just this morning, I feel like I can do it. So let's track back. Mood boards. It is self-explanatory, but I'm going to go into more details. It is, in fact, a board. And that board can be virtual or physical. The board is meant to invoke a certain mindset, a certain emotional state of being, in order to help you write whatever you're writing. There are lots of different things that different writers use to stimulate their link to their creativity. And playlist is another one, but for this recording, I'm just going to talk about mood boards. So have you ever done a vision board? Those are quite popular, especially with the new agey type of people. But lots of other people will use mood boards for different things. In the film world, it's called a lookbook. That's more so when you're doing it to present it to other people, to kind of explain the tone and the ideas of your script. But a mood board is just for you. All right, so a mood board has colors, shapes, words, pictures that get you to a certain stage. So for example, if you are writing about love, you might create a mood board with hearts, with pink, with red, with maybe Valentine's Day, or even old movies that were about romance. And that will just make you smile. It'll put you in the mood to write something about love. And then there are people who might be writing a thriller script, and their mood board might be quite dark. Blacks, grays, dark purple. There might be crime scene pictures on it to just get them into that state. So you can use a mood board for a scene, for an entire feature that you're writing, for an episode, or just to actually stimulate the link of creativity. It's not about something specific that you're honing in on. You just want to be more creative. And it's not really that hard to create one. We kind of have our mood boards in our heads from our histories, from our past, but when it's externalized, I find that it just makes it like a mirror, 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 mirror image, meaning you have in your mind, it's external, in mind, external, mind, and it just ping-pongs back like a tennis ball, and then you just have a singular focus that helps you create brilliant artwork. So, how do you create a physical mood board? Go to the dollar store if you're like me and you're on a budget. There's also craft stores, but I find some of the best treasures in dollar stores and thrift stores. Okay, so you would go and buy markers if you don't have them already. You would buy stickers, you would buy glitter, perhaps. You would just buy all of the crafty things. And then the same thing, if you went to the thrift store, you can find little crafty things. But also, if you go to the thrift store, look for old magazines and old books. Maybe you have some lying around, maybe you don't. Okay. ask some friends and family members too, if you know that they keep a lot of crap that they don't really need anymore, and instead of just throwing them out or recycling them, maybe you can use them. So you do need scissors, you do need glue or tape, and then you need some time where you won't be interrupted, where you can really think about, am I doing this mood board for just creativity? Am I doing it for this scene, this episode, this feature, this short? And then once you're clear on what you're creating the mood board for, choose the colors, the words, the shapes that represent that mood. And you can write out words on the mood board, or you can just cut out the words from a newspaper, from a magazine, from a book. You can print them off too. I know a lot of people like to print things off and put it on the mood board. Fill it up. It doesn't have to be like junky, especially if the mood you want is like a simplified type of mood. Maybe there's just one image that really compels you to be in that scene, to be in that mindset. And in that case, just put that one image on the mood board. But after you create it, put it in your writing room or your reading room, wherever you feel it would do the most good in your space. Most people say that it needs to be visible to you from wherever you're writing from. Okay? And then just look at it. Stare up close at it. Move back from it. Meditate on it. And then write. If you are doing a virtual mood board, you can use different software that allow you to do that. Like Paint has been around for a while. You can post different things on there. But I'm finding that I'm having a mood board experience looking at people's Instagram. Okay? So you might find someone's Instagram that really speaks to you, or another social media, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and just by viewing them or the pictures they upload, it puts you in that mood. I do recommend gifting that person some money, because they're completely unaware that they are being used to stimulate your link. There's a person that's Instagram was about the kink community, and I wrote a pilot called Pandicament for the kink community and how it's affecting the how the pandemic is affecting the kink community. And the pictures, like, this person is an artist, the pictures were just perfect, you know. And I decided I'm going to purchase those pictures just to give some prosperity, because it really did help me when I was just like, I don't feel like writing. I would just go on to this person's Instagram, look through their feed and be inspired, and then I would just start writing. Other times it might be a website that you really like from the person. Maybe it's their YouTube channel, or you might just need to compile a playlist of different YouTube videos to really put you in that mindset. Mood boards are not necessarily kept forever. You might feel like, okay, I'm done, or it doesn't work for me anymore. In which case, you can take a picture of it to keep it virtual. In case you want to revisit it later on and then you throw it out, or you can just take it down, store it, and then take it out later on. Most of my mood boards stop working when I'm finished that project or I'm finished that scene, okay? But sometimes I still like them, so I don't want to get rid of them, right? But a lot of us don't want to junk up our space with multiple mood boards. So like I said, you can take a picture, then it becomes your virtual mood board. You know, also, if you are somebody who likes to take walks in order to connect with your creativity, Perhaps take a picture of your mood board and take your phone with you on your walk so that you can just look at the mood board on your walk without needing to take that cumbersome paper with you. People will be staring at you like, why are they walking around with that giant poster? So yeah. That's about it when it comes to mood boards. Just know that they can be big or small. If you have kids, you can include them in the process because it is a fun craft. And if you're not very crafty, it's fine. You can still do a mood board. And let's say you're writing a scene about a child. Perhaps having your child scribble scrabble will put you in that mindset. So just to summarize, again, a mood board is exactly as its name sounds. It is a board, virtual or physical, that has colors, shapes, words, and pictures that invoked a mood in you that helps you connect with scenes, episodes, or script or creativity, and that way you can write the scenes, the scripts better, with more detail, with more inspiration. I don't know anybody who sells creating mood boards, but I'm pretty sure that's going to happen in the near future. There will be people selling mood boards to artists and writers, you know. I said I wasn't going to talk about playlists, but since I have extra time, why not? So a playlist is essentially a series of songs that also put you in the mood of a scene, of a feature, of a script, or just stimulate your creativity. If you're writing horror, there's normally going to be some type of boom, boom, like bass, right? And it might be an eerie type of sound or song where there's weird, like sharp sounds that kind of make people be like, right? And let's say you're writing maybe a sci-fi. Maybe you need those weird sounds, you know, in music. I'm not really a lover of music, which I know sounds weird to people who love music, but I've just never been into music. It's not my thing. I will find, though, that certain songs will connect to a certain script. And actually, when I was in my teens, I was listening to some songs, and all of a sudden, I would start to see a world play out in front of my eyes. One of my stories, Kyria, which is about, like, it's almost like a game type of world, a gaming type of world, that came to me when I was listening to a CD that my older sibling had. And the CD was not good, like the people were not famous at all, but it simply made that world, that vision, play out. And it just became more and more elaborate throughout the years. So I will get to writing that script. And recently, I was adapting one of my older scripts, or short stories, which is Ileana Strands, into a screenplay. And I was just mindlessly listening to a singer from that recent new show. I'm trying to remember. It's where people come to sing their songs to songwriters and they help them improve it. Is it called Songbird? I don't remember. See, I'm not really into music. But anyway, there was a singer on it called Rynn, R-Y-N-N. And her song Crowded Places, or Crowded Spaces, I think. I liked it, and I was listening to it, and I didn't realize I was listening to a playlist, and it jumped me to one of her other songs called Linger. And that, for whatever reasons, helped me complete that script. I got new scenes just by listening to it. That part where it goes, it just, that I don't know why, that riff, my brain just loves it. And I will listen to it like 15 times as I'm writing the scene or even like the whole script, like reviewing it and like fixing it. I just will hear it and I love it. And it's ominous, and Ileana Stearns is a very, very, very strange script. And I've never had anything in the world that made me think of that script until that song. Again, I don't know why, but it just works. So you might be the same. You might have a multitude of songs or artists, like the sound of their voice, that really puts you into that mindset, into that emotional state that helps you be more creative. I think that most people, or more people rather, use playlists in comparison to mood boards. I just don't have a playlist that I can recommend because I don't really listen to music that much. But I'm sure if you love music, you'll be able to find one or create your own. There's YouTube, like I said earlier. There's also Spotify. There's other websites that will help you compile a list of artists and songs that just speak to you. And I don't know if it's because we're doing appreciative listening, which is simply kind of like zoning out, and we're listening in a way where we're appreciative of the artwork. I don't know if it's that then makes us be more appreciative of our own creativity, and that stimulates the link and helps us, right? But all I know is that it works for a lot of people. So I strongly encourage you to do it as well. And if you have certain songs that really just distract you, they don't help you focus, take those out of the playlist. Don't listen to them. And for some people, you just need to hear your own voice. Maybe singing or playing an instrument yourself will stimulate the link. Especially if you're absent-minded, like you get distracted really easily, having the willpower to sing through an entire song can really help you just focus better on your scene, on your script, okay? So see what works for you. Appreciating other people's artwork, I know that works for me. It can be something visual or audible together. Like you can have your mood board and your playlist together and see how that works. Or you might just prefer to have them separate. But whatever it is, choose it. Dedicate, commit time to giving it a chance. Because I've had people say, oh, that doesn't work for me. But they barely ever used it. So I would say to give it a month. Give a mood board a month, give a playlist a month to see if it really does or doesn't work for you. And just a reminder, it might be something that doesn't really inspire you. It might not be that the tool doesn't work. It just might be the color of the tool, right? So the mood board that you're doing might not actually be the right mood board for you. In which case, Google is your friend. You get to see all the different weird, wacky ways that humans express themselves. And some of those might speak to you, to a deep part of you that you were unaware of. That is the beauty of art. It makes us more aware. It opens us up to aspects of our psyche, of our lives that we have been blind or dulled to. And it awakens us. And I love that. As another note, sometimes you might need to redecorate your writing space, and that can kind of declutter your mind or open you up to more of your creativity. So those are the three things that I wanted to talk about. Mood boards, playlists, and redecoration. Have you ever even just gone to a furniture shop and you looked around and something just really captivates you, it speaks to you? Whatever that is, if you can afford it, bring it into your home. I used to be confused why people went above and beyond to decorate their homes, because I really am a minimalist. But then I was watching Billions, which is one of my favorite shows, and she talked about, or they talked about, because I forget the name of the character, but it's the non-binary character. They talk about liking or realizing that decoration is something that invokes something in you, that it's important, because when you're in your home, you want the things around you to be speaking, to be inspiring, to be making your life better. And I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist. Okay, so I'll leave you with that. Choose things that inspire you, so that, again, it's that mirror experience where it's you, then the object, you, then the object, you, then the song, you, then the decoration. And that just ping-ponging will put you into an optimum state for your creativity to flow. We won't always know why trauma inspires, boredom inspires, but we know that it does, so let's use it.